I said this in first service, but he wasn't here in first service, so I'm going to say publicly thank you to Brother Brad. I always hear great things about Brother Brad. Sometimes it's surprise. He did a really good job. No, I'm kidding. After 20 years, you guys know what you're getting when Brother Brad fills the pulpit. He does as well, if not better, than this old man could ever do. He is one of our finest preachers, and I do not say that because he's in front of me. I say it because it's true. There's very few preachers that prepare like Brother Brad does. There's very few preachers that present like Brother Brad does. And watch this. God has amazingly blessed you as a church, quote unquote, that he is a second man. He could pastor this church and he could pastor any church the Holy Spirit led him to. I have all the confidence in the world, and I'm thankful to have him as our youth pastor. And so, amen. I am so thankful that he was able to fill for us. We went to Branson, Old People's Paradise, as Brad says, and we had a great time Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's just great to be back with you. So be turning to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. In first service, I had Romans 12 dog-eared, so I'll have to do it now. There we go. So I'm just going to tell you, I'm glad that you're here at second service because I don't have a time limit. My mind's going in so many different directions. You're liable to get three series in one sermon. We'll see, though. I'm kidding. Thank you for the laughter. But basically, I dread these Sundays that I'm not in a series because every week it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to preach? What series do you want me to get into? What book do you want me to get into? And usually that is a reference to a book of the Bible. Possibly, quite possibly, you'll have to come next Sunday and see. This may be a springboard into a series on this book. I could, I might, I can, I should, I will, by Tom Rainier. And it's essentially, it's a follow-up to his book, I Am a Church Member. Some of you Sunday school classes have went through that book. It's an excellent book on being a church member, but it's, in my opinion, even a better book of who you are in Christ. So you've got the being and the doing. The being is the who I am. Who am I in Christ? That's who you are to be. You are to be a child of God. You are to be a possessed person of the Holy Spirit. You are to be a person of character. But what are you to do? Yes, Robert is giving me a run for my money, but I got a microphone. Robert doesn't. So y'all just hang in there. Children are no interruption. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. I knew I'd get amens throughout the building. Here we go. The doing part is what we're going to talk about this morning. And again, we may follow up with turning each one of those into a message. With that said, I just really want to make sure that, because, church, you don't ever have to worry if the devil is doing his job. He's always doing his job. And his job is to discourage. His job is to distract. And his job is to redirect. And our job is to stay on point. And God's job is to guide us in that. And so the I will statements deal with what you and I should be doing. Now, I know to some level, I mean, let's face it, you guys have withstood COVID-19. You have withstood the pandemic of this era, if you will, in history. And you're here. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But if you will, that means it's even as more imperative than ever that we make sure we're doing what we've been called to do so that we can exist. As we said at the very beginning, every church has experienced a 20 to 30% decline. Some of that is accounted for in people that it would not be safe for them to come, so they're still a part of us. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But some of it truly is just the times. People are turning their back on the gospel. They're turning their back on quote-unquote Christ. They're turning their back certainly on the church. And we've got to make sure that we do not quit doing what we've been called to do so that we can sometimes reach them back, but certainly reach those that have never been introduced to Christ. We are called to church the unchurched. We're called to do that. We're called to reach the lost. And so before we, let's just go ahead and stand and we'll dive into the scripture. And then I've got a little story I want to read you. And honestly, the introduction is going to take longer than the sermon itself. So don't get discouraged, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus has shown himself to the 120. The 120 are fixing to go into the upper room and they are going to get empowered with the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, I just want a little aside, okay? Jesus spent 3.5 years trying to get the 12 disciples off of this subject. Whether or not the nation of Israel will be restored to their former glory. Jesus was trying to open their eyes to the greater mission. Church, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but y'all have probably heard the book, Your Best Life Now. Please hear me. I am not on any level trying to experience my best life now because I know that is waiting for me in heaven. I am trying to take as many with me as I can to the best life that's waiting on all of us. And so with that said, just like some of us, if we're not careful, we get wrapped up into getting all we can get out of this world, and that is not what God has called us to. The disciples here, the apostles, that's the word I was looking for. Sorry, it didn't even start with the same letter. The apostles were caught up in the same lie that all of the Israelites were, which was, God is going to restore us to prominence. And what God was trying to do was to restore them to spiritual health and then take them to heaven when they died. So, church, he's trying to redirect them one last time before he ascends. And this is what he tells them. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That means he'll take possession of your physical body. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look again in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Father, we ask you to add your preaching, your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. So, today we're going to talk about the I will statements. But again, you need to know who you are in Christ. That's the being part. The simple sermon in a sentence of this message is a look at the decisions every healthy church member needs to make. Just pretty well straightforward. I'm trying to get you on the train. We're in the depot. And if you do not listen to this sermon in a sentence, you're not going to get on the train. A look at the decisions every healthy church member needs to make. So first of all, we want to read to you the tale of a joyous church member. And if you will, the journey that this church member had. Her name is Heather. Heather is a single mom with three kids, two boys and a girl. The ages of the children are 5, 7, and 10. Heather is concerned about her children because of the divorce, because they are struggling in school, and because they are failing to obey at home. Yet she has not taken them to church in more than 3 years. The divorce was messy, but then again, divorces are not neat and joyous situations. When Dan and Heather split almost 4 years ago, Heather decided to leave the church. Her ex-husband was staying at the church with his soon-to-be wife. It just would not work for Heather to be around them. So she left Resurrection Community Church, and she's not returned to any church for more than 4 years. Heather's friends and family sympathized with her regularly. Poor dear, you lost your husband, many of his friends, and the church you love, some would say. And Heather nodded her head, receiving the condolences, but with quiet acceptance. It's okay with her if they feel that way. But Heather has a secret she has confided to no one. Yes, the divorce was incredibly painful. Yes, so much of the change for her and the kids hurt deeply. Still, she has told no one the full story. Heather was glad to leave Resurrection Community Church. Indeed, she had become really miserable at the church long before the marital problems began. Leaving the church was one of the blessings of her life changes. It was a big relief. In order to understand Heather's sentiments, we need to take you back 12 years ago. That was when Dan and Heather were married. They bought a home where Dan was working, and they both made a commitment to get involved in a church. That's all good. They mutually decided it would be Resurrection Community Church. That's where this story begins. From Heather's perspective, Resurrection Community Church was an easy choice. Dan and his parents had been members there for many years. The church had about 250 in worship. Obviously, Dan knew most of the members. The church members were friendly to Heather as well. They accepted her immediately. After all, she was now a part of Dan's family. Heather really did not have to do much to get involved. Within a few weeks of joining, she was asked to be in a woman's Bible study to help with the church finances since she was a certified public accountant, and to be a greeter. When the children came along, it was pretty natural for them to connect in the church as well. Dan and Heather had many good relationships in the congregation. Some of them were young parents with children of similar ages to Dan and Heather's. So she began church life just fine. Her attitude was great. Her relationships were solid. Her involvement was good. She has trouble remembering exactly when the change took place. It was more gradual than sudden, and it always is. Heather, just a few years later, had become an unhappy church member. There was no one negative event. Indeed, she barely noticed the change day by day. Heather does remember waking up one Sunday morning with a dread about attending church. If you did that this morning, we need to set an appointment. Just a true story. And it may not be on your, it may be us, okay? So I'm trying to give an olive branch. There was no one negative event. Indeed, she barely noticed the change day by day. Heather does remember waking up. I told you that. When did these feelings develop? She asked herself, why am I no longer a happy church member? This story is Heather's story, but it's almost done. But it can be repeated in the lives of church members by the millions. Depending on your perspective, you could say that Heather had an advantage. She did not have to wait or seek permission to get involved in the church. Through Dan and his family, she immediately had connections and immediate acceptance. It was as if she had been a member of the church for years, and that's the way it should be. It was fun for her at first. She loved all the relationships she developed in the church. The members were good people. They took care of one another. Heather did not attend a church business meeting the first 6 months after she joined. The church treasurer, though, asked her to attend since she would soon become the assistant treasurer. She needed the background and the experience. She thought it was strange to have a business meeting every month, but she honored the request. The meeting was nothing like she had expected. The treasurer gave his report, and 6 or 7 church members asked questions about almost every dime of expenditures. Then the pastor made a presentation to change the worship time from 11 to 10:30 a.m. His logic was sound. The 11 o'clock time was really late, and it had no obvious benefit. It was just the way the church had always done it. The opposition was pretty intense. The pastor politely suggested that the change might appeal to younger families who are not members of the church. They often prefer to eat before noon, especially if they have children. Betty, a long-term member, was quick to speak. "I don't know why you're always talking about people who aren't members of this church. This is our church, and our needs come first," she said without hesitation. The pastor heard the chorus of amens, and he saw several heads nod affirmatively. He knew the issue was dead. He took the idea off the table. The pastor would leave the church 8 months later. He barely made it to his second anniversary at the church. In the past 20 years, the church has had 8 different pastors. Only one pastor made it to 4 years of tenure. Heather would soon fit in with the long-term members. From them, she learned that church was mostly about getting her needs met. She would often join the chorus of critics when anyone suggested change in the church. Though she would not admit it or articulate it, she really began to view the church as a religious country club that was very careful about letting outsiders in. You see, Heather joined the church expecting to make a difference. And that's why you should join a church. She became a part of the congregation expecting to give and to serve. You should. That is where she found true fulfillment. Sure, Heather's church experiences were enjoyable initially. She enjoyed at the onset being a part of a club where she was included and others were excluded. But that self-serving behavior and attitude provided no true fulfillment. When she woke up one Sunday morning with dread and angst, it was the culmination of months of a haughty attitude and selfishness. It was the result of being inwardly focused instead of being outwardly focused. It was analogous to the child who eats too much ice cream and gets sick. It was all about her needs, her desires, and her selfishness. Heather was spiritually sick, and she felt it. So when the divorce was finalized, leaving the church was the easiest thing to do. She never told anyone how relieved she was to get away from such a self-serving place, and she had no desire to go back to a church. She was done. 4 years passed. Heather was getting restless. The intense pain of the divorce had eased, and she knew something was missing in her life. She realized that as a believer in Christ, she needed to find a church to connect with other believers. For certain, she needed to get her kids back in church. So the single mom became an unchurched person looking for a church home. Heather began her quest with high hopes, but they were soon dashed. She told a neighbor, "None of the churches have their acts together. They all have obvious problems," and she observed. She reluctantly agreed to a visit from the pastor and his wife from a church she and the kids had visited 3 times. From her perspective, that church was the best of the bad choices. But Heather would be ready for them. She had the perfect article to show them. Jordan and Megan, the pastor and his wife from the church at Fountain Hill, arrived promptly at Heather's home. After exchanging pleasantries, Heather spoke. "Pastor Jordan," she began, "let me get to the bottom line. I've been out of church for 4 years. I have visited a ton of churches with a good motive to return. Frankly, though, I can't find a decent one to go to. The church at Fountain Hill is the best of them, but your church has its problems." Jordan and Megan were patient and kind. You could tell they had heard similar stories. Megan spoke. "Heather, what have been your bad experiences? I think it would help us to know some specifics." "I thought you might ask," Heather responded. "I saw a blog post this week called 9 Ways Churches Drive Away First-Time Guests. I made a copy so you could read it. I have experienced every one of these 9 ways at the churches I visited." Jordan and Megan read the blog post together. The author was brief and to the point. We're not going to get into those today. We will eventually. So, Jordan had actually read the article earlier in the week. It was written by an obscure blogger who gained a lot of attention with that single post, but Megan spoke first. This is the wife of the pastor. "Heather," she began, "that's a good article. We leaders in churches can certainly heed its message, but you could be viewing church the wrong way. Maybe you should not be asking what you can get out of a church, but how God would have you serve through a church. Instead of saying, 'I want,' W-A-N-T, consider saying, 'I will.'" Heather was obviously agitated by Megan's comments. She tried to maintain her composure, but she was clearly bothered by those words. The exit of the couple could not have come sooner. Why did those comments bother her so much? Heather wondered after they left, "Am I really that sensitive?" Now, we're not going to continue for time's sake, but suffice it to say, this is a true story. And that lady dealt with her issues, and she joined that church with the idea, "I will." And she went to work. And now, these years later, she's still a healthy church member because she's serving instead of saying, "What can I get?" Now, please hear me, church. You need to attend a church that has the ability and desire to meet your needs. Amen, church? You need to do that. But that cannot be your motivating desire. Your motivating desire has to be God and others. And as long, thank you, Brother Gavin. And amens rain throughout the village. If you and I keep God and others our focus, watch this, God and others are going to knock themselves out to meet your needs. That's the way it's supposed to happen. So I've told you this before, but was a while back. I found myself in a rainstorm at a parts place. And unfortunately for me, the Holy Spirit was there too. Because this family, their car was dead in the water at a stop sign. Literally dead in the water. And God said, help them. And I'm like, Lord, I'm going over there. No, you're going right here. This is why you came this way. But Lord, it's raining. I don't know if you noticed that. Cats and dogs. Help them. I got out of the truck. First, I backed up and rolled down the window. Can I help you? Long story short, I got soaking wet, and me and the husband found ourselves in the truck on a 30-minute drive one way. So I looked at this guy, and I said, sir, I'm a pastor of a church, and I know that this is no accident. Tell me what's going on in your life. And we got to the gospel. Yes, sir, I know Jesus Christ. I'm a born-again believer. Absolutely. Praise God. Where do you go to church? Well, and there we got into, this church has this issue, this church has this issue, this church did this to us, this church did this to us. 2 years of history of why they didn't go to church any longer. I looked at this person with all the love I could muster, and I said, I want to ask you just one simple question. Is God king? Huh? Is God king? I don't know what you... Are you a child of God? Yes, sir. So does God have the right to make the decisions in your life? Yes, sir. I'm with you now, Brother Ben. So this is what I want to ask you to do with all the love I can muster. Ask God where He wants you to go to church. He knows all their problems. And just go and serve Him and see what God won't do. I have no idea. We'll find out in heaven if He cursed me after that or if He went somewhere. Because I told Him, you're welcome to come to Bethel, but you're almost an hour. Because I was 30 minutes from home, and we took another 30 minutes away from that spot. I said, but you're probably not going to come to Bethel, but we'd love to have you, but you need to find you a place. And church, listen to me. That is the whole point. And watch this. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Brother Ben, I'm here. Amen. But there's always room for improvement. So as we go in war, I told you the introduction is as long, if not longer, than the message. So here we go. I want to use these decisions and link them to our spiritual gifts. That's why we read Romans 12, 4 through 8. So one of these may come natural, but all of these are to be cultivated. We had a conversation at Tony's 18th birthday party Friday evening. He turned 18 yesterday. And I know that's hard to believe, but he did. And we found ourselves in a discussion about spiritual gifts. Church, if you do not know what your motivational spiritual gift is, that's one of the reasons that you may or may not be as involved as you should be in church, because that's how God wants you to serve the church. We always pick on Brother Craig because it's obvious what Brother Craig's gift is. Brother Craig's spiritual gift is service. Do you know what he was doing yesterday? Serving this church. He was. You probably didn't know it. That's okay. He doesn't care if you know it. He's serving God. Amen. Now, we're not trying to tell you that Craig's all that. Y'all know better than that. We're trying to tell you that Craig is easily identified by his gift. It should be that way. We should be able to identify each other by our gifts because we're using them. But watch this. We are responsible to cultivate every one of the gifts. So even though I'm a prophet, not meaning that I can foretell, but I can forthtell, I can add God's word supernaturally to a situation, I feel like that's a gift that a preacher can absolutely use. I need to serve the church too. I need to be willing to do things that no one sees and I don't get any credit for. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. So here we go. Point number one. I will move from I am to I will. Every believer has to understand who they are in Christ. But once they understand that, it's time to get to work. Yes, In a healthy functioning church, this is done through discipleship. Regardless of whether that has happened with you, you are responsible to understand who you are in Christ and then to use that giftedness to serve Christ for His glory. So who are you in Christ? Oh, I love this. You are a child of God. You're an heir to the throne. You are possessed with the Spirit of God. You are equipped with a spiritual gift from God, the Word of God, and you are placed in an individual body of Christ in a local setting. You have everything you need to serve Christ, church. You have everything you need. If you're sitting there today and you've already come up with excuses or an excuse, I'm telling you that any one of those things that I just read will take that excuse away. Well, I just don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Well, I'm not sure, you know, what I believe. The Bible is there to teach you that. Well, I just don't understand the Bible. The church of God is here to equip you in the Word of God. And so that's why we stand this far up. I spit three rows deep. And in COVID-19, we don't want that, okay? All right, here we go. If you will, that is the I am. I am all of these things, but now, what will you do with them? That's where you get to the I will statements. In my opinion, the spiritual gift that best correlates with this is the gift of organization. This is a person who naturally sees things in an ABC manner. Therefore, it makes all the sense in the world to someone with the gift of organization that once you understand who you are in Christ, you get to work for Christ. I joked with the first service that as a pastor and anything but an organizer, I have suffered at the hands of some well-meaning organizers. Why? Because the fleshly use of an organizer is to try to organize you. And bless their hearts when they see me and all of my unorganization. Oh, I'm a project. I get it. Yeah, amen, Brother David says. Oh, no amens. I got you. Church, please hear me. If someone with no organization comes to you as someone with the gift of organization, you're ready to go. Do not force yourself on them. Okay? Watch this. God has plenty for you to do without you trying to organize someone that hasn't asked for it type thing. But for those of us that need organization, wise is the unorganized person that surrounds themselves with organized people and lets them go. And lets them do their work. Years and years ago, I got accused. You do everything in this church. You know what I said? I don't know a single song that Mandy's playing today. Haven't picked it out. She's going to lead it. I don't know what Brad's teaching. Don't have a clue, but I trust him. He teaches Awana. He teaches Sunday school. He does all of that. We just went down right down the list. Now, please hear me, church. Yeah. On the areas that I am blessed to lead, I'm going to lead. But wise is the person that puts folks around them that can do what they've been called to do. And so if whatever your spiritual gift is, you need to settle what you need to settle and then get to work. Secondly, I will worship with others. The spiritual gift that goes along with this is the gift of teaching. Why? What is the biblical support to this passage? Forsake not the assembling together as it is the manner of some. Church, a teacher has the absolute desire to teach the Word of God. Therefore, you know what that means in most cases? They know the Word of God. And a teacher is going to tell you that one of the first things you need to make sure and do is regularly worship with God's people. Again, we are absolutely doing that today. I'm speaking to the choir, but church, we need to sing when it comes to this area. In this day of COVID, we need to make sure and make this a priority. Now, there is obviously some very understandable exceptions. Now, there's a family that usually sits, you know, I could point to them, and they got exposed 2 weeks ago, so they're quarantining. Praise the Lord. I got word last night, another family. Exposed. They're quarantining. Praise the, and we could just go right down the line. So you and I need to understand that sometimes when there's empty spots, that's not necessarily because they've quit coming, and we need to check on them. We need to say, hey, everything okay? And you're not asking them to tell you whether or not they've been exposed. You want them to know you missed them. Amen, church? Folks, you want to know. You want to know that someone has missed you. Now, blessed is the pastor in the church that church members don't get upset when someone doesn't call them. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But the reality is that you're going to bless yourself and the church if you will check on those people that you no longer see. I will worship with others. You may not be experiencing the same thing right now that you experienced 30 minutes ago, but aren't you glad you were here to experience what you experienced 30 minutes ago? It changed things. What I experienced right there that caused me to have to go get two tissues, it changed things for me. When we worship together, and please hear me, church, when I feel the pressure of your singing behind my head, that blesses me to no end. It blesses me to no end. We need to worship together. Point number three, I will grow together. This is Sunday school. Yep. I'm talking to you with all the love I can muster. If you don't have a small group, you need to go to one. Or you need to start one, or you need to become one type thing. Church, we call it Sunday school, but it's our small group ministry. It is our connect groups. That small group is going to do for you what this pastor cannot. They're going to possibly come to your home. I'm not saying I can't come to your home. I'm saying I can't come to 300 people's home. And you might say, wait a minute, Brother Ben, we haven't seen that number in a while. Do you know that in a process of 6 weeks, 300 different people come into this building? It's a true story. I've checked it. And there was a time, 400 people. Now watch this, I'm not trying to be anything but real. When you're in one spot for 30 years, that's now the community feels like they have a rightful demand to play. And that's okay. Hallelujah. I've preached people's funerals that you guys have never met type thing because I've been here for so long. So it's so important that we get a part of a small group so that we can minister to one another, so that we can sharpen one another. I'm going to joke with the class that meets over in the MC. Those folks had a good time today. I don't know if they just made fun of Daryl the whole time. I don't know. They had a good time today. And I know it happens in Gavin's class. We took a new family up to Gavin's class. That place erupted. They were excited. They had to bring chairs in to seat these people. And folks, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And we need to absolutely connect on a small group level. Point number four, A, B, C, D. Yeah, point number four. It gets worse. I will serve. Well, of course, this is the spiritual gift of service. I will serve. If the Holy Spirit leads us deeper into this book, whatever message, whether it's a Sunday morning or Sunday night, it could revolutionize this church. The challenge that's going to come. We may do the challenge whether we get into the series or not. I will serve. You know, as a pastor, and Brother Brad knows this because he works with me closer than anyone with the exception of my wife and kids. This church blesses this pastor. Did you know one of the reasons that you do that? Brad prays that prayer every day. He does. He asks God to use this body to bless this man. I don't deserve that. I've not done anything to be worthy of that. The office is worthy of that, right? No matter who sits there. So watch this. Church, I would be shamed and embarrassed to ever complain. I can't how this church takes care of me. But watch this. You need to cross the aisle and do that. And Brad does. And I could name name after name after name that you bless one another. Church, we need to do that. You need to serve one another. A need seen, finish it. A need seen is an assignment given. You need to serve. Here we go, number five. I will go again. Here we go. I will go. There we go. So again, this would be the teacher and the great commission. So again, the teacher has studied the Word of God, and he knows, or she knows, that we have been commissioned to take the gospel. Now, I'm just going to love you enough to just put it out there. Every church needs to be willing to know what their ratio of how many church members and or family members. And I'm going to try to make a mental attempt, because I have said for years, members and attenders. Because there is a difference. Watch this. But I'm from this point forward, if I remember, I'm going to say members and family members. Because as far as I'm concerned, when you've attended longer than 3 weeks, you're now family. And amens rang throughout the building. I'll give you one more chance. When you've attended more than 3 Sundays, you're now family. Amen. Thank you. See, I knew you felt that way. I knew you felt that way. So including every person that considers this church a part that you belong, this is your church. If we took that number and divided how many people we've won to Christ this year, that's our ratio of how many members and family members it takes to win one person. And church, we would not be blessed by that number. Every one of us have the responsibility to go and share the gospel. Now, I'm going to put it right back here. And I have the onus to make sure that you have been equipped and taught how to do that. So I'm giving you the promise. If you're ready to share your faith, but you do not feel equipped, you come to me. We will facilitate that. I'm begging you to do that. Next, I will give. Now, I feel a little embarrassed even talking about this because this church has this down. Mandy's already bragged on you. This church gives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. It's important to tithe, to give proportionally. It's important to give offerings above your tithe, to give generously. But church, every one of us needs to make sure that we have the commitment, I will give. In my older age, one of the things that I have discovered that I enjoy doing, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or nothing, and we may have some here in this fellowship, some of the folks that are the neediest right now, and I'm saying that with all compassion, that are servers in restaurants. Folks, they're hurting. They just got a layoff that they had no say in the matter type thing. Tim Davis went to Kentucky on his motorcycle. I said, hey, Tim, at Dollar General yesterday, how was your vacation? Well, uh-oh. He said, man, I didn't research this good enough. What happened? Kentucky shut down. Really? Hell yeah. Kentucky shut down. He said, I had to travel 20 minutes one direction to find a restaurant. He said, I went into that restaurant, and it was packed. He said, the owner was there. I asked him, how are you doing this with Kentucky asking everybody to shut down? He said, I pay fines every day. He said, it's either that or bankruptcy. He said, but look at us. We're full. We're the only restaurant in the area. And so we're all right, but we're paying fines every day. Watch this. That's the owner. What do you think those servers? Because there probably was a time that they were off. And so I started all this with, there's something I really enjoy doing as an older guy. I love to tip. I do. Now, I'm just going to be, I'm enough of an old guy that I get aggravated when they tell me what to tip. You're going to get a better tip if you just leave it to me. Okay? Don't put big black bold letters, 20%. The Lord only gets 10. I'm messing with you. Okay? But I do. If I can, I give that much if I can. But I for sure give 15. If I can't give 15, I'm not going to eat. And you know what happens to me at Sonic? Them blasted debit cards. I'm going to cash. So a little teeny bopper comes out, and she's needing and expecting a tip. I'm like, I'm sorry, I used my card. And they don't give you an opportunity on that little, you know, fancy technological machine to put a tip. So you know what? Every once in a while, I have a 5, a 10, or a 20. Some person just gets a great tip. I don't know if that expunges me of all the other sins of not tipping. But my point is, I'm trying to be a generous giver. Church, did you know that when the scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver, do you know what that literally means, that word cheerful? Hilarious. So we ought to be having a fit at that box. Woo! Boom! Thank you, Lord! Because church, we're all well fed, we're all well groomed, we're all well clothed. God is blessing us. And we ought to give back in proportion as God gives us. We need to be, I will give. And of course, that goes with the gift of the giver. Watch this. If you have the gift of giving, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're wealthy. It just means that you have the spiritual gift to help someone in a time of need. And God will always provide for you to do that. And again, we should cultivate that gift. I will not be a church dropout. So, church, I know you may not be here until you die. As long as the Holy Spirit leads you out, that's okay. And in my most humble opinion, if the Holy Spirit leads you out, He most likely will lead you here first to say, I love you, church. Thank you for everything you've done. I'm not mad at anybody. And if I was, I've gotten it straight before I'm leaving. But I got to go. Church, in my humble opinion, you expect that out of your hired staff. We ought to expect that out of our members and family members too. Because I don't really like to look out and go, well, where's so-and-so? And realize that they ain't been there for 6 weeks, and I see them at Walmart, and I'm like, what gives? That's an awkward moment. Can I get a witness? That's an awkward moment. So when it comes your time to be led out of this church per the Holy Spirit, let us know. Because we would love to send you off with love, like we have these folks on our list. And church, please hear me. The other two reasons why people leave church, offense, or they got upset, that can be worked out. That can be worked out. How many times has this pastor told you, if you've got an issue or problem, let's sit down and let's talk it out? Tons. So I'm begging you to do that. We're almost done. I will avoid the traps of churchianity. Now, to avoid the church, the traps of churchianity, it's simply saying that you become a spectator. You become someone that you are a consumer at church, and that's it. You check it off the box, and you move on. Church, if that's what we're here for, that is a gross misunderstanding of what church is about. I will not fall into churchianity. I did not tell you the spiritual gift that goes with the church dropout. That's the prophet, black and white, right and wrong. And then the gift with this is mercy. The person with mercy wants to remove pain. And if you're just coming here to check it off a box, there's some pain somewhere in your life. And the mercy wants to relieve that. Lastly, I will make a difference. Church, if every person under the sound of my voice commits to this one today, I will make a difference. We're going to change some things this week. We're going to be open to what God shows us. We're going to be looking for opportunities to serve. We're going to forgive one another for things that, you know, stuff happens, church. We sometimes inadvertently offend each other. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive them and move on. I will make a difference. You ever heard the story about the little boy that was throwing the starfish back into the ocean? You ever heard that? Anybody? Nobody. Oh, wow, this is going to be brand new. So the little boy is walking the beach, picks up a starfish, throws it into the ocean, because it's going to dry out if he doesn't. And there's millions of starfish on this beach. This old crotchety guy, probably like me, has a rain gauge, Brother Brandon. Brandon came into the old guy. He bought him a rain gauge yesterday, or recently this week. If you have a rain gauge, you are an old guy. Can I get a witness? Yeah. And listen to me. We all laugh, cajole and conjure. Watch this. You're going to like it. Because now you'll be able to say, we got 3.5 inches last night. Nobody else knows that. No, you're going to be in the know. Some old guy with a rain gauge walks up to that little boy and says, you realize you're not going to make a difference. There's too many. This kid had to be akin to a Kingston, picks up a starfish, look at that old man, throws it back into the ocean, says, I made a difference with that one. That one's appreciative. And church, hear me, If this crowd of 100 plus goes out this week and says, I'm going to make a difference, we're going to affect Franklin County. We are. We may not hear about it, but I guarantee you the people that we bless, the people that we help, the people that we pray for, did you know that you can do a lot of damage to Satan's kingdom just through private prayer? Yeah. You ever had somebody do road rage with you? They need you to pray for them. I'm telling you, as a road rage person, they need you to pray for them, okay? And so that's just my point. Church, I love you. Thanks for letting me. I don't think we can say that I skinned you today, because you can only do that once. But I certainly have brought up some things that we need to prayerfully sit down and look at. If you're here today and you've never, ever accepted Christ as your Savior, we're fixing to have an invitation. If the musicians will come, if you'll stand, we're going to have an invitation. And we would love for you to come forward and receive Christ. If you're ready to do that, we'll send you as someone gender appropriate. Maybe you just want to come and make one of these commitments today. Maybe the Holy Spirit has laid His hand on a particular area that you need to work on, whatever the case may be.